The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined here in the studio by Craig Burley. Frank Leboeuf and Jurgen Klinsmann will be joining us shortly as we kick things off in the Premier League. Liverpool taking on Spurs. Good game this was at Anfield. Early on, Liverpool felt that they should have had a penalty handball against Eric Dier. It wasn't given. However, it would be Jurgen Klopp's side who would take the lead. Mohamed Salah's deflected effort going past Hugo Lloris. Liverpool at the best the opening 45 minutes. Despite that, though, Spurs will get the equaliser in the first half. Son on the counter-attack. Spurs then much better in the second half. Bergwijn with a couple of big chances. But in the end, Firmino, the hero for Liverpool, his late header would give them all 3 points. And it would put them then three clear at the top of the Premier League table. Craig, I just want to start with just a reflection on this game. This was really enjoyable, wasn't it? Because you felt it could go either way.
Do you know, the 23% or whatever it was possession for Spurs, I mean, that's quite low, but I wish Stevie was here just so I could really annoy him.
What would you say to annoy him?
Because the more the season goes on, yes, they're not the most attacking team. They're not going to win any prizes for entertainment. But I'm enjoying them more, Tottenham, as every game goes by, because they're such a well-organised team and they are such a threat going forward. And really, if Bergwijn had the composure of Kane and Son, it would have been 3-1. And then they might have just shut up shop. And so, yeah, they can be frustrating. But I thought they could have had this game dead and buried. And I think Liverpool have got away with one. As good as Liverpool played in the first half at times, Tottenham super organised and just didn't take those chances that they seem to create in every game. And yeah, I'm I hope this annoys people, but I'm quite enjoying watching Tottenham. And I'm less enjoying watching Liverpool at the moment because their manager's annoying me.
Right.
And I saw him getting a little bit of a spat with Mourinho at the end. And do you know what? The great whinger that Klopp has become. Do you know how many substitutes he made in this game? Zero. The man that has whinged and moaned and talked about no subs and five subs and too many games and this, that and the next thing, gets his 3 points and makes no substitutions.
But his side did win.
No, his side won. No, I understand that, and we've gloated about Liverpool for a long, long time now. I just don't think there's any side in the Premier League playing, particularly the big two, playing like we know they can do, City and Liverpool, and the likes of Southampton, the likes of Tottenham, the likes of West Ham at times. We can leave Arsenal out of that. We'll talk about them later.
Yep.
But Liverpool are not quite hitting their stride, but they've got the result. But that game could easily have gone against them if Tottenham in the second half had taken their chances.
Jurgen Klinsmann and Frank Leboeuf also winners, a couple of World Cup winners. Jurgen, let's start with you. Did Liverpool deserve to win this?
Been all right. I mean, I think Spurs deserved it more, I think, based on the chances in the second half. Obviously, first half, you know, you just saw one chance from Spurs scoring the goal. But second half, I think they really, the first 20 minutes, they came out, they created chances, and then throughout the entire second half, they have a couple more chances. And they should have put one in. I mean, you're not getting many chances at Anfield Road. And it's a pity, because it's a lost opportunity today. If you would have come away with a win at Liverpool, that would have been a huge signal to the entire league that you're very, very serious about winning the championship this year. Now, at the end of the day, you know, you have 0 points, and Liverpool, they are 3 points away now from you, and they look they look now confident. So it's a matter of confidence really coming out of this game with a good result, and it's a pity for Spurs that it didn't happen.
Frank, the incident that Craig mentioned at the end there was Jose Mourinho apparently telling Klopp that the best team lost.
I don't know. You know, the thing is, we have to analyze that with all the strengths of both teams. You have one team dominating, you know, getting 70 5% of the possession of the ball. And another team who decides to defend, who doesn't want the ball, who does it very well, with the expertise of Mourinho, it's what they were looking for. So is that fair to say? And I know the question you asked to Jürgen, if Liverpool deserve to win, I don't think so. I think a draw would have been fair because Tottenham did what they had to do and what they wanted to do. And I'm okay with Craig when he says that Tottenham could have killed the game with Bergwijn chance and Kane header. But at the same time, you know, if Craig enjoyed Tottenham playing, it's because they play against Liverpool. The thing is, if Tottenham play against another team who plays like Tottenham, what kind of game we have? Now, after saying that, when you have two different teams with two different styles, it's an enjoyable game. It's what happened today, and it's what happened tonight, and it was a pleasant game to watch, and I love seeing Tottenham defending that way. But I don't want to see two Tottenham on the same the same field playing against each other.
But Frank, there's no right and wrong way to win a game of football. You know, he did it with Inter Milan in Italy. He was hugely successful with some great players, and he played a defensive style, and the players loved it. And I understand everybody wants to be entertained, but you know, it takes two to tango, and we can't all be a Liverpool, City, and a Bayern. And he's gone in there and thought, right, this club have been to a Champions League final, but they haven't really won anything for years. This is what I've got. I'm not getting much money to spend because that's the way Tottenham operate. How can I get the absolute maximum out of this side in a season that's going to be concertinaed together because of the pandemic? And so he's decided that's the way to go forward. And by the way, did you disagree with me on the penalty shout and Eric Dyer? Because I could hear you chuntering away in the background. And I'm up for an argument today.
I definitely did disagree with you.
Do you know the shirt is part of the new directive? Is
yes.
The shirt is part of the.
I know the green. I know the green zone and the red zone because it's what it's called. So the red zone is below the short sleeve and it touch. And I sent a picture to our producer where we see the ball being. No, because I'm very professional and I want to work very hard and being very precise. When we see the ball touching Dyer's hand, Dyer's arm, without touching the sleeve, so it's in on the red zone. So it's a penalty because on top of it. It was directly on his arm. So can I go back to what you said? I totally agree with you, and I will be very pleased for Mourinho and Spurs fan if the club wins the PL this season that way. But I want to be entertained, and I'm just saying that if you don't have a team like Liverpool playing that way. Being a different side to Tottenham, you would have two teams of Tottenham playing against each other, and it can be very boring, and I think it's going to be a 0-0. It's what just I'm saying. I don't talk about result. I don't talk the way to play. I'm just saying, as viewers, as somebody who wants to be entertained in that game, lucky that we had a Liverpool team to play against Tottenham.
Jürgen, what do you make of it all?
Yeah, no, I totally share it. You know, we all know Jose Mourinho. I mean, he's a mastermind. He's an excellent coach. But he has his own way. He is defensive minded. He's done that at Inter Milan. He won the treble there. He's done it at Chelsea. Now he's doing it at Spurs with the player material that he has at his disposal. So he decides to go this route, and it could happen that at the end of the day he's going to win the Premier League this year. Is it sustainable then over years to go? Is it entertaining for the fans? And obviously we know the Tottenham fans, they want to be entertained. They always love attacking-minded football throughout the history of Spurs. This is just their brand. So it will be very, very interesting to see, you know, how long this can be sustained. You know, obviously, if he goes all the way through with this type of style of play, then he needs to deliver. He needs to have the Premier League title under his belt by the end of the year.
You said it during the game, though, Dan. The players, listen, if the players are not buying into it, it's a problem. You said it during the game. We're watching upstairs. And you said the players are buying it. Harry Kane back, heading balls out. He was last week, the other week against City. He's back from the corner kick, winning headers. The players are buying into this counter.
They lost today. I feel like we're giving Spurs quite a lot of credit for a game in which they lost.
Yeah, but
and Liverpool, once again, didn't they, define themselves as favourites to win the Premier League today.
Yes.
So I feel that maybe we need to talk about Liverpool a bit more because we've banged on about Spurs.
Well, you feel that you're talking about Liverpool, but I'm just talking about Spurs briefly.
I know, but we talk about Spurs quite a lot.
And the position that they're in. And I'm going to tell you why. Because we're all a bunch of hypocrites. Right? We're all a bunch of hypocrites because we sit here 4, 5, 6 days a week, whatever it is, and we talk about the modern day players don't want to defend. We sit here and we rip teams apart for the fullbacks. Oh, look at the fullbacks at Barcelona. Look at the fullbacks at Liverpool. Look at the fullbacks at City and all these teams. Oh, they want to go forward. They want to be the wingers of the modern game, but they don't want to do the defensive aspect of the game. Here we have a manager who's getting his Reguilón didn't play today, it was Davis. But he's got Aurier and Davis, and whoever's playing, they want to defend. They've got the centre-halves, the first thing they want to do, they want to defend. You've got Sissoko and Højbjerg and all these players, they want to do, and again, we'll get to Arsenal later, but they're the barometer for players that don't want to do this part of the game. These guys want to do the ugly part of the game, but yet we sit here every week when teams defend poorly, and we sit and say, oh, look at that. You know, nobody's interested in the defensive aspect of the game anymore. But here we have Mourinho telling his players...
But they lost today. Why is it...
Yes, but my point
Dan,
is...
Dan, can I say something?
They lost today.
Craig...
Go on, Frank.
just one thing that you just said. You use the adjective ugly. So you consider that defending is ugly. They do the ugly part of football. So defending is the ugly part of football.
I should have said hard part of football.
Oh, thank you very much. Thank you very much. Therefore, I agree with you. It's true that it's an expertise. It's being an expert to be able to defend well and to organize your team to defend well. But again, and I know, Dan, we're going to talk about Liverpool and Liverpool, I don't know if they deserve or what, but I think it's, again, we enjoyed the game today because we had two different styles. And we shouldn't forget that because I want to see Tottenham playing against another defending style of team.
Jürgen, we saw today, didn't we? Once again, Liverpool proved themselves to be the best team in England.
No, I mean, obviously, they are a top team, a top five in the world. And it's not a surprise that they are back up on top. But I think, you know, coming back to that discussion that we have right now, at the moment where Spurs is, I think every Spurs fan, you know, his desire, his hunger is for a title. It's more important, the title, than any style of play we can discuss up and down. I think the team is buying in, as Craig rightfully said. So if players like Kane and Son work defensively, chase people, they're working hard, it means that the entire group buys into that approach that Mourinho presents. So at the end of the day, right now, they are so hungry for silverware that they forget about the style of play. It's not that important. You know? And obviously, we connect with Jürgen Klopp and Liverpool since years. We connect attacking style of football, very entertaining, very fast-paced, and sometimes also a little bit controversial through his personality. So that's all fine. But I think we have a long way to go this season with all the teams up there. But it's I rather watch a game like this today, as Frank said rightfully, where two different styles, you know, go at each other, and it could have gone the other way around. And so we have many, many exciting games more to go.
You know, this program, this
turned into Tottenham TV, and I don't know how we've gone down this road.
No, it's not. Well, listen, you say that, but for the last 4 weeks, you've every time I've been on, which hasn't been that often, I've been taking some time off, as you've said to me, Tottenham win the league? Can Spurs win the league? So don't now tell me that it's turned into Tottenham TV. I'm giving you a reason why that is. And I said to you about a month ago, if they come through these fixtures in a decent shape, and although they have lost today, and you've pointed that out several times, they've come through all these tough fixtures, which have included some good teams, and they're in good shape, and they can take heart from today's game. But Liverpool... Yeah, they're the best team at the moment, but defensively, again, and on another day, they could easily lose that game.
Frank, are Liverpool favourites to win the league?
No, because it's too early again.
Oh, my God, it's too early.
And Tottenham, Yeah, it's too early. Of course it's too early.
Saying, I mean, Frank.
What day is today?
Frank, do you know when there's a horse
race? Frank, do you know when there's a horse
race on at the Kentucky Derby or something? The race is not halfway run, you know, before somebody can pick a favourite and put a bet on. It's not how that works.
I know.
Right.
Okay. So we have to guess before the end and before Boxing Day, where we're going to know history that can change.
But I'm not going to the bookie halfway around and going, listen, a quite fancy number 24.
Liverpool
are favourites.
I think of course they're one of the favourites, and I think they can win the title. And I'm very pleased that Firmino scored, because I think he's going to prove to Dan, and I'm going to put him in the corner, that Firmino, he can be also a top scorer.
Frank, tell me something I don't know. Liverpool can win the title. I'll tell you something. West Brom could be relegated. There you go. Come on.
What do you want me to do? You know football. You played football. How can you say that Liverpool can win the title?
Get off the fence. Who's favourite to win the title?
Yeah, Liverpool is a favourite to win the title. If you want to hear that, you know, I'm going to tell you, you know. And if they lose next week and Tottenham win, they go back to the first place, and you're going to say, oh, you know, Frank, you were wrong. No, that's football. So what do you want to say before, you know, Boxing Day? Ask me in January, like as every time say in that show to Dan, don't stop asking me that, because it's not what I wish, it's what I think.
Do you know, this season has just been crazy, because I watched Liverpool at the weekend against Fulham, and it was so unimpressive, and I was like, wow, is this just the Liverpool that I know? At least they've responded today. They weren't brilliant in the Liverpool fashion, but which team has been? I mean, City are sort of meandering their way through the odd result, and it's like City are playing in some sort of training game. It looks like the crowd, a lack of it, has affected them as much as anybody, because the pace about their game has gone. We thought Chelsea were on a great run, and they've hit the skids. It's just, and then we have the likes of Southampton and these other teams that have played some really good stuff this season. It has been so weird and up until this point, but I picked City before the season started, but it looks now like Liverpool, without even being at their best of the last couple of years, could probably win this league playing at, you know, 80 or 90%.
Yeah.
Is that okay? I've mentioned Liverpool now.
I'm sorry, but because the PL is completely crazy this season, you know, Southampton would have won away from home against Arsenal. We could have said that Southampton is a contender, because they're going to be second tonight, you know. And it would have been, you know, only fair to say Southampton had a chance to win. And Tottenham would have scored, Bergwijn would have scored instead of hitting the post. You know, we would have said Tottenham is a favourite. So how do you want to say there is a favourite? And you just named Chelsea, who lost two games in a row. And before everybody were okay to say, oh, no, you know, Chelsea is a contender. He can win, you know. He has every players, they're not injured, and they have results. Boom, two losses. So, therefore, you cannot say right now who is a contender or who's not.
I've just noticed on Frank's shot, the Mourinho head looks like it's on Frank's body with Frank's wife. But anyway, that's how I entertain myself.
Is Jürgen still with us?
Jürgen is still with us.
Yeah, it's true. There, Jürgen. The other side.
Jürgen, you must be both stiff listening to this. Seriously.
No, I love your discussion there. You know, it would be like we would be in a pub somewhere. But I definitely agree with Greg. This is crazy times. I mean, 2020 is a crazy year for all of us, you know, obviously in the world of football, in the world of everything going on out there. The last couple of weeks have been extreme to all the teams, you know, especially the teams that played in European competitions as well in their national championships. And you can look around, if you look at Italy, if you look at the Bundesliga, if you look at France, Spain, what happens there, Barcelona, Real Madrid, the last couple of weeks has been a roller coaster. And obviously the Premier League like that as well. So it's going to be interesting to see, you know, how it looks like the table of each league, you know, right before Christmas, or especially, you know, end of the year, especially because they continue to play in England. But there, you cannot predict it. You cannot predict this year who's going to win the Premier League and who's going to win in other countries, because the circumstances, the coaches work right now, the managers work in their respective teams and clubs is just so different to what they were used to because of COVID-19. So I think we have a lot more surprises coming up this year, and which is kind of exciting as well.
Well, just to tie a bow on the Liverpool victory against Spurs, Klopp's great record against Mourinho continues. 12 games they have faced each other. Klopp has won 6 of them, Mourinho just the 2.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
10-man Arsenal could only manage a 1-1 draw at home against Southampton today, leaving them 15th in the table. Craig, where should we start with Arsenal? I saw some saying, look, it was nice, the players clearly fighting for Arteta. They could have crumbled when they went 1-0 down.
Who said that?
I had some pundits saying it on the radio, on the wireless.
Really?
Yeah, they were saying, look, they're clearly still playing for Arteta.
If there's pundits out there and on any medium saying that, they should be hauled out, their pay should be taken off them, and they should never be allowed to broadcast again. Because that's just nonsense. They were completely outplayed in the first 45 minutes. And I heard some talk about... this is the kind of game that drives me nuts with the basement boffins that just want to talk about tactics and times G and all this nonsense, because this was a half-time team talk. And
I think it's XG, isn't it?
What did I say?
Times G.
Times G, XG, whatever it is. This is a half-time team talk. And I've been in this position so many times that it didn't need any talk about tactics. It needed somebody to get in there and go around that dressing room and say, finger out, finger out, finger out, where's your desire? That's what it needed. Meanwhile, we've got a back three and a back four. Because they had no desire to do the basics. You can't showcase any supposed talent you've got if you don't win the ball back. Particularly at home. You don't go and press them. You stifle them. You pressurise them. And then you pass. You show that desire. You roll your sleeves up. They had none of that. Listen, the only celebration Arsenal have tonight is they didn't get beat.
Right.
They didn't get beat. That's the only thing they can think about. Discipline again. Xhaka, a few days ago, brain dead. Gabriel again, brain dead. Gets tight to Che Adams for the first goal. Gets turned, doesn't win the ball, they score. Gets tight to Walcott on the halfway line, right tight, doesn't need to do it, gets turned, gets sent off. In the Tottenham game, at Tottenham Stadium, gets tight to Harry Kane, doesn't need to, gets spun, they score. Get my point? There's a recurring theme about all the mistakes that Arsenal are making. Look, I don't know if Arteta's going to be the man or not, but what I do, and I know he's won the FA Cup, and it was good at the time, and the performances were encouraging. But so have Wigan won the FA Cup recently, so have Portsmouth, I think. So, shouldn't read too much into it. He may be, and I say that with inverted commas, may be a good manager in the making, but I'm telling you now, this is not an Arsenal team good enough to be wearing Arsenal jerseys. That's as big a problem as whether the manager's going to be good enough. Most of these players are not good enough. Most of these players don't have the desire, no matter what people say. I didn't see them fighting for Arteta today. I saw them have a period of 5-10 minutes in the second half where they got themselves a goal. And then they lost their discipline again, and Southampton probably should have won it. So they're 15th in the league for a reason, and I'm going on about a little bit longer than I would normally about this. But people just talk nonsense. People just... And Edu, the technical director, was out recently saying, oh, we love Arteta, he's going to be brilliant, and things are going well. And I'm like, holy smokes, are we watching the same thing here? But it's tough. It's tough being an Arsenal fan right now, and you can throw the FA Cup at me and all that, and you can tell me they're winning in the Europa League and beating Rapid Vienna and beating the likes of Dundalk and Molde and teams like that. Couldn't give a hoot. Your bread and butter is the Premier League. And in the Premier League, they have been this season utterly abysmal. And there's no great sign of that changing. Tell me something in today's performance that said to you or anybody out there, yeah, I could see things starting to pick up. If I was Sheffield United, who can't win a game for Toffee, I think I'd want to play Arsenal soon. I think I want to play Arsenal next. If I was Chris Wilder, I'd be like, give me Arsenal. Because they've got no backbone for a big team. If I'm playing one of the big teams, supposed big teams, give me Arsenal. They've got no backbone. They make bad decisions, right? They're a bunch of fancy dance, and that's why they're 15th in the Premier League. That's fact.
Frank LaBeouf has been hanging around all this time.
I do apologise. I thought I was on my own there, Frank, so I thought I would go on a little bit of a rant.
He's not sorry.
No, no problem. It's always interesting to listen to my former teammates, so no problem.
Frank, what do you make of what Craig was saying?
Yeah, before joining Craig in his statement, I want to say that I saw a game with two different psychological feeling in the two teams. There is one team, the Saints, are full of confidence. They even tried passes, and you say, well, it never go to the partner. It's going to be a wrong pass, and because of the deflection, you know, suddenly it becomes a fortunate pass, and they get it right. And another team who doesn't try anything becomes very shy because there is a lack of confidence, and it's what I saw from the Gunners. But one thing you cannot do, one thing, and it's where I join Craig, is one thing I cannot stand, is that you don't fight. Even if you're not full of confidence, even if you're not ready to make sure you're going to have a good game or you're going to entertain the people, you're going to play and you're going to be ready to die on the field. And it's what I don't see from the Sutton Gunners. And what I see, and I'm going to name one, because I like him, because I played with his father. But Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang, before he scored the goal, I was wondering what he was doing on the field. You know, and he scored the goal because of a Saka fantastic dribbles and giving a very lucky pass to somebody else, because I think it was for Aubameyang. And he ended up going to Aubameyang's feet and he scored the goal. But otherwise, I want to know what's going wrong with Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang. We all said during the summer, and I think Craig was the first one to say he was the best transfer because he signed again for the Gunners. But since then, nothing. Nothing. But it's not only that he doesn't show what he's capable of. It's because he's not running. He's not fighting with his teammates. He has the armband. He has to show example. And the example is not showed because he doesn't even run. And I want him to understand, and it's why maybe I'm going to say that, because it's going to be relied by the press. You know, Frank LaBeouf criticized Aubameyang. Yeah, because I love you, man. So do the job. Start running. Start fighting with your teammates if you want Arsenal to be saved at the end of the season.
I think you're overestimating how much people care about your opinion, Frank, to be honest. But there we are.
If there's one slither of...
Well, every time I say something wrong about another club, you know, yeah. I'm in the press in England, and I say lately about Manchester United, you know, whatever.
Don't worry.
You know? So, you know, we are very watched.
Frank, don't worry. When people are not talking about you, that's a bigger worry. One tiny slither of positivity is, once again, young boy Saka wants to take responsibility.
Right.
He wants to take the ball for a run. He's an England international now. He wants to take it for a run. He wants to get on the ball. He won't hide. He'll go and try things. And I'm loath to criticise young players, and I'm not criticising any of the youngsters here, but I'm picking him out as a young man that just... Even amongst the immense mediocrity that Arsenal has shown, shows glimpses of a potential future that could be bright. How many tackles were put in Oriol Romeo and James Ward-Prowse during that game? How many times did Arsenal get tight and make a tackle, to Frank's point? Hardly any. And let me tell you about pressure. And let me tell you how these Arsenal players lack the stomach. Most of them, not all. Bit generic, that comment, but I'll stick with it. There's no fans in, as we know. Or there's not many. Mm. Depends where you are in the country. The stadium's literally empty. Can you imagine putting those performances in, week after week, in front of 60,000? They would be... You talk about no confidence. They've got nobody there barracking them. They've got nobody there booing them every time they make a mistake and haranguing them and shouting at them and abusing them and waiting for them outside. So there's no reason, apart from the odd bad performance and result, not to go out there and roll your sleeves up. Because Frank and I and all these, we all know that playing in front of big crowds, when you're having a bad time, people get on your back and it's doubly difficult. Mm. You've got to pick your chin up, you've got to put it behind you, you've got to take all the stick, you've got to soak it in, and you've got to get your backside back out next week and perform. These guys don't have that pressure. There's nobody in the stadium. And yet we're still seeing these tepid, timid performances. Let me tell you, Arteta's not in the hot seat for a sack just yet, right? But I would imagine he's a transfer window and quite a few bad results away from being quite close. I mean, they're saying they're backing him at the moment. And that's the right thing to do because he's very young and it is early. But it can't... This run of results in this manner can't continue from now to the end of the season. It can't. He's going to have to stop this slide. He's going to have to stop this mediocrity. Otherwise, what you get in a scenario is you get the board, who are already tight with the money, saying, OK, we'll maybe give him a little bit more time, but can we trust him with the money? And that is the problem. That is the problem for him, and that is a problem for the club, and that's a big problem, Dan, for the Arsenal supporters at the moment. It's bad results breed poor confidence within the board, breed a lack of anybody being forced to spend money.
Couple more Premier League games tomorrow. Villa taking on Burnley, and it's Sheffield United against Manchester United. Sheffield United with just 1 point, of course, so far this season. United, big favourites going into that tie. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Juventus could only manage a 1-1 draw against Atalanta on Wednesday. Cristiano Ronaldo missing a penalty that would hand in the defending champions all 3 points. Let's welcome in Gab Marcotti. Gab, we've seen this a lot this season.
Well, Juve playing well. And
Juve drawing, Gab. I think that's six, isn't it, in 11?
Yeah, but look, just because you can look at it and you can say that they keep dropping points, I think we've seen them play very well, and we've seen them play really, really badly. I think this one, when you consider how well Atalanta played, when you consider that they could have won it if Cristiano had buried that penalty. Although, and by the way, Cristiano having is one of his worst games this season that we've seen in a Juve shirt. I think there's more positives to take out of it. But obviously, yeah, it's 2 points dropped. Good news is Milan also dropped points.
Welcome to this debate, Craig, that me and Gab have been having for a while, because then I'll say to you, if Sarri had this start to the season, you'd be questioning whether or not he should be the man in charge, and you're just going to tell me now, Dan, this is just a transition. Pirlo wrote a nice thesis on what's going on in the world.
Well, that's the truth. That's what he did. That's the difference. Sarri didn't change anything. Sarri was supposed to be an agent of change, and he wasn't. Pirlo is trying to change things. It would be a hell of a lot easier. Listen, Dan, this is football, right? We've seen Juve play for the last 9 years. It would be a hell of a lot easier if they just put, like, seven people behind the ball, lump it up to Cristiano, have somebody fall in the box, oh, look, it's a penalty, and Cristiano converts it, and then everybody sit back, and then they win, right? That's a tried and tested formula. They want to change that because they don't believe that it works as much in modern football. They felt that they were perhaps a bit fortunate to win it last season. They don't believe it works in Europe. They want to play differently, but it takes time to go and do that. And that's what they're trying to do.
Inter move within 1 point of Milan at the top of the table after they beat Napoli by 1-0. Meanwhile, Milan could only manage a 2-2 draw against Genoa. Gab, how concerned should Milan be?
I think if you're Mina, look, Ibrahimovic is about to come back. Simon Kerr is going to come back. I thought they deserve more out of this game based on the way they played. But you know they're playing without Ibrahimovic, without Bennacer, without Gabia and Kerr at the back. The kid you saw, Kalulu, who ended up scoring the equalizer. You know, I think this is only his second appearance for Milan, and he's actually really a right back, a teenage right back who has to play in central defense. So again, I think they showed a lot of character. And I think you're going to drop points eventually, but the unbeaten streak now up to 26 games in Serie A, and I think a very solid performance for Stefano Pioli.
Thank you very much, Gab. For more of Gab, be sure to download the latest edition of the Gab and Jules podcast. That drops on Thursday. You can find that over on the website. Plenty, of course, for the boys to talk about.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
All the big boys won today in the Bundesliga. Bayern Munich coming from behind to beat Wolfsburg by 2-1. Lewandowski with a brace in that game. Meanwhile, Leipzig with a 1-0 victory away against Hoffenheim. Bayer Leverkusen remain top of the table. They thrash Köln by 4-0. Jan Fjortoff joins the show now. Jan, let's talk about Bayern Munich, in particular your man Lewandowski.
Yeah, it was a fantastic performance again from Lewandowski. And as you said, for the sixth game in a row, they are 1-0 behind. They're still coming back. He scored now 251 goals in the Bundesliga. Only Klaus Fischer, I think 15 or 16 goals ahead of him. Gerd Müller, of course, 120 goals ahead of him. He won't reach him. But tomorrow, Dan, they're going to choose who is the best player in the world. And let's put it this way. If Lewandowski doesn't beat Cristiano Ronaldo and Messi this time, it will be scandal of the year. So let's just make ourselves prepare for that.
Have I missed this?
It's the FIFA Best Award tomorrow.
It's not the Ballon d'Or.
No, there's no Ballon d'Or. That was cancelled, so it's FIFA the Best.
Is this a new one?
No, we've had it.
Have I just missed it because it's really not important?
You've had quite a few years, and coincidentally, you're off tomorrow, I'm sure, for the reason that we will be discussing the Best.
I get the feeling that's not a mistake. That's a scheduling
tactic. Yeah, most definitely. Jürgen, we've had Jan on quite a bit saying that Lewandowski is the best striker for him since Marco van Basten. Would you agree?
Oh, I definitely would agree, especially as if you talk specifically about the number nine position. You know, he's not a fake number nine. He's not somebody that roams around and comes over the wings. He's a player for the box. And the way he does that since years is just unbelievable. It's outstanding. It's you don't know what kind of compliments you need to find for describing his qualities. So he's so complete with everything he's doing. So if there's whatever vote coming up, whatever they call it, then he definitely deserves to win it.
See, I'm not alone. Whatever they want to call it, you know, it's like...
No.
I'm going to ignore you. Jan, you take a look at it. Obviously, good for the neutral, the fact that you still got Bayer Leverkusen and Leipzig continuing to put pressure on the defending champions.
Yeah, I think it was a good for us who loves the German Bundesliga now, because there are a lot of contenders now for the trophy. And I'm impressed of Bayer Leverkusen. Their play attack is beautiful coming forward. As you said, four different goal scorers. They have Diaby, Bailey, they have Schick, who came from Leipzig or was on loan from Rome and then going to Leverkusen this season. But also they don't concede goals. I think they've just conceded 9 goals this season. Dragovic and Tah, great defenders back there. Bayern Munich have scored 42 games in a row now in all competition, but they have conceded 18. So there is a hope that maybe this could be a bit excitement. And for Saturday, the late game on Saturday is Leverkusen against Bayern. So we're up for an unbelievable end to the German Bundesliga season of this year. This Saturday.
That'd be a great litmus test, Jürgen, as to whether or not Bayer Leverkusen really are title contenders. When we discussed it at the weekend, you say you felt they were going to fall a bit short. Today's result, let's just blow that apart.
Yeah, no, I think it's very exciting to see Bayer Leverkusen being in such a good shape right now. I think they take every game as it comes and they collect the points, and the overall goal for Bayer Leverkusen is certainly to enter the Champions League at the end of the season. So if you would ask them what's your aim for this year, they will not tell you winning the championship, because everybody will name Bayern Munich. But I think the strongest contender alongside Bayern Munich is still Red Bull Leipzig. I think Leipzig has the quality and has the consistency right now, and they're very, very focused. But obviously, the surprise team at the moment, or in the last couple of weeks, is Bayer Leverkusen.
Jürgen Klinsmann and Yanar Fjordtoft, thank you very much for being with us. Just a reminder, the Bundesliga continues on Friday. Borussia Dortmund away against Union Berlin. That game live on ESPN Plus at 2:30 Eastern.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Barcelona moved up to fifth in the table in the La Liga standings after coming from behind to beat Real Sociedad by 2-1. Let's welcome in Ali Moreno to reflect on what happened at the Camp Nou. Ali, when they went 1-0 down, you thought, uh-oh, another crisis, another crumbling for Barcelona. But they were resilient and they got the win.
The first 45 minutes for Barcelona today against Real Sociedad is the best 45 minutes they have played all year long. Now, the bar has been very low for Barcelona, so therefore, it's easy to sort of get excited about Barcelona when you actually see them connecting passes, creating opportunities, dynamic in the attack, change of pace, high energy. And not only did they score the goals, it's the manner in which they score the goals. The fact that you have Frenkie de Jong appearing in the 18-yard box and being an option in the attacking half, it really hasn't happened in the past. And for Barcelona to see that and get productivity out of Frenkie de Jong is something that adds value to this team. You had chances for Griezmann, you had chances for Braithwaite, you had chances for Pedri. The first 45 minutes, fantastic for Barcelona, even though they give up a goal, but you come to expect that from a vulnerable team in the back. The second 45 minutes is, oh boy, false hope again from Barcelona. You thought they were better than they had been all year long? No. They went back to being the team they have been. And now they got pushed back by Real Sociedad. And in the end, they're hanging on. And I mean hanging on. Ter Stegen's having to come up with save. Barcelona unable to maintain possession of the ball. There was a sequence of play in the 77, 78th minute for Real Sociedad where they're keeping the ball in the attacking half, 25 yards away from goals for Barcelona. And they just keep knocking the ball around. Eventually, Nacho Monreal, the left back for Real Sociedad, is the one that misses an opportunity at the back post. But just to see the image of Barcelona being pushed back at the Camp Nou, the way that they were by Real Sociedad, is discouraging. First 45 minutes, great. Second 45 minutes, awful. Somewhere in the middle is where Barcelona sits right now.
Ali Moreno, as always, thank you very much. A penalty from Kylian Mbappe and Moise Keane getting on the score sheet as well would see PSG defeat Lorient comfortably by 2-0, leaving them second in Ligue 1. Well, that brings us to the end of today's show. Thank you very much for everyone who has been on. Be sure to stay tuned as Extra Time is next. Welcome into the latest edition then of Extra Time. Craig Burley, who is in some mood today, is joined by Frank LeBeouf as well. You shouted at Frank during the show today.
Yeah, well,
what angle's this? That's not good for your bald spot.
No. No. Next time we go to that angle, find out where that gallery is, and I'm going to go up there. Say this very quietly in case HR hear it, but not strangle the director.
Lovely.
Anyway, so where's that freaking camera? Hey, listen. Hey, Frank Lampard's beating me. He's gone, isn't it?
Right. Okay, so that's your solace. That's what you're taking.
Well, he's beating me, look.
Yeah, but Frank looks good bald. You look weird.
I'm not bald.
Yeah, but it's going here, isn't it?
Yeah, so what?
So you're not bothered, clearly. It doesn't bother you whatsoever.
Well, it's not news to me, put it that way. Anyway, why was my analogy horrible on the...
Because your analogy was you can't book on a, you can't bet on a horse race when it's halfway round.
No.
But in the Premier League, you can bet when it's halfway round, can't you?
Yes. But you were asking Frank Leboeuf a direct question, right? Who is the favourite for the Premier League?
Yes.
And Frank said he wants to wait.
Right.
And I said to you, well, it's not like waiting for the Kentucky Derby to be halfway around before picking out a horse, is it?
But you can do that in football.
But that's not what you were asking him to do.
Well, I still don't.
You were asking him a direct question.
Your analogy was terrible. Terrible analogy.
Just because you've had a tough day, because you're used to having softies in the studio.
Oh, really?
Just let you do what you want. And you know it's not going to happen with me.
Right. In your playing...
I think you must be hoping that the boss fires me. I'm not far from it. It does, but...
I don't think I wield that sort of power.
I'm just going to make your life, and everybody else's, by the way, difficult.
Ah, something to look forward
to. That's my New Year resolution. I'm going to get back.
It's not New Year's yet.
Yeah, well, it shouldn't be. Well, that's why I've not made my New Year's resolution yet.
I'm sure it was the same last year.
I'm going to get back to being really Mr. Nasty.
Oh, good. That's something to look forward to.
We started with Arsenal today.
Right. In your playing days, Frank, was there a team who played like Spurs do today? And if so, how did you approach playing against them?
I guess some teams, you know, but not teams from the top, you know. It was mostly teams, you know, from the, you know, in bad position, almost relegation position, where they don't want to lose, so they all stay at the back. And but never had a team like that, I would say, that I recall, that only played defensively in counter-attack and to score goals. Never.
What about Wimbledon, Frank? Yeah. What about Wimbledon, that Wimbledon team that we played against?
Yeah, but because, they were struggling. I mean, I don't remember. It was a hard game. I remember the first game we played at home, we lost 4-2. But they didn't play in counter-attack. They were playing their games. When they had a chance to go forward, they were going forward. And they had talented forward players, you know. It's not like that. It's not what... It wasn't on purpose that a top team decided only to defend and to count on counter-attack to score goals. And not willing, in fact, to get the possession of the ball. I don't want the possession of the ball, and I'm just playing counter-attack. I never seen that during my career.
And they had Robbie Earl running about now and again.
Good old Robbie.
Now and again in the middle of the park. You know, whenever he thought there was going to be a chance of a goalie, get in the box.
Robbo coached them for a bit, didn't he?
Robbo coached them?
Yeah.
How'd that work out?
Well, it was a bit of a mutiny against him, wasn't it?
A mutiny against Robbo?
Yes. Craig, what the hell's going on with Arsenal discipline? 8 red cards since Arteta has joined. How much does that speak about Arsenal as a team?
Well, the trouble is you can tell your players till the cows come home about discipline, but when you have some of the idiotic decisions that these players have been making recently, then it's difficult, because what do you do? You obviously they're out of the team with suspension, but do you take them out of the team because they keep making bad decisions when you might not have the players to bring them in, other players to make the team better? It's difficult. He's going to have to figure it out. I mean, what else can you do apart from say to the likes of Gabriel and Granit Xhaka, who grabbed somebody of the show, listen, we're not good enough, right? We're not Liverpool in the City. We can't play with 10 men and still win a game. We're struggling to win a game with 11. So we can't afford to be making these decisions. And if the players don't take that on board, you have to get rid of them. Otherwise, they'll get rid of you. Simple.
Frank, what do you all think about players celebrating against their former clubs, like Theo Walcott? Is it acceptable or should it be avoided?
It's not a problem for me. I mean, if the club or the fans didn't want, mostly the club didn't want him to celebrate against them, they should have kept him, you know, to make sure that he would celebrate for them. If they decided to get rid of him, it's because they thought he wasn't good enough. I mean, I remember seeing David Luiz scoring in the last second at Stamford Bridge in the Champions League with Paris Saint-Germain. And nobody complained about it. And the year after he came back, or 2 years after he came back to Chelsea. It's not really a problem for me. I understand that you have the right to celebrate. You are paid by your new club, And it's just fair. Well, normally the players, they don't celebrate, you know, the first year that they left the club. Then after, they feel free to do so. And in the case of Walcott, he was at Everton before. So I think he played for Arsenal quite a few years away. So it's not a problem for me.
I don't get this. I don't see what the gentleman's or what the person's interpretation of acceptable is. I mean, what's not acceptable about it? It's business. It's a career. It's they. Unless you left with a sour taste in your mouth and you asked for transfers and there was a fight, they sold them. They wanted them out. They wanted to get somebody better. Why wouldn't he celebrate? I don't know, I'd rather run the whole length of the pitch and slid.
Yes.
I mean, I don't understand. I mean, he's not an employee of Arsenal Football Club anymore. Mm. I mean, did Arsenal, you know, there was no, I don't know how many fans were there or whatever it was, but say there was a full house of 60,000 at the Emirates. What, did every one of those fans go, oh, Theo, don't leave.
Why do they call him Theo?
Theo, we don't leave. We love you. You're great every week. We never boo you. Nonsense.
Craig, is it hard for managers to manage playmakers? We see this around the leagues as playmakers cannot make the team, like Ozil, Isco, Dybala, Eriksen, etc.
De Bruyne. Ziyech recently at Chelsea. I suppose Salah and Mane are playmakers in some sense. David Silva was a bit of a playmaker. Bernardo Silva's been a playmaker. The list goes on. It's, you know, managers can manage these players. It's just whether these players are willing to work hard enough. I mean, we'll go back. Frank and I always hark back to one of our teammates, Gianfranco Zola, who was one of the best playmakers of his generation, but it was never hard to mould a team around Gianfranco Zola because, guess what? He worked hard on the training field, which meant he worked hard on the field, which meant he was a team player, so it was less of a problem for managers. Mm. It's only a problem to manage when the player's lazy out of possession. Is that a good analogy?
I think it's mostly the players in the dressing room who have to manage a playmaker. I remember that movie called Any Given Sunday, and when the quarterback is not, you know, considering the other player as important as he think he is, and they make him pay. And that's what it is, you know. I think I would have played with Gianfranco Zola without him considering our works, for him to be free and to only think about attacking, in a way. I would have told him, and I would have done something maybe against him. But he was absolutely a perfect partner, so I didn't have to do that. But it's mostly about the dressing room to sort out the managing of the playmakers and not really the manager.
Well, Eriksen was
shouldn't be his problem.
Eriksen did okay for Tottenham for quite a while. He had a good run in that Pochettino good spell when they got to the Champions League final, and Eriksen was a big part of that. I can tell you something from experience, it's hard to play with two playmakers.
Right, because then you've got to run around and look after them.
We did at Celtic for a short period, Paul Lambert and myself, we had Lubo Moravcik, who was one of, and if, for those that haven't heard of Moravcik, Moravcik was an unbelievably talented player. He came in from, I think it was Slovakia, and I heard Henrik Larsson talking about him recently in a podcast, and Henrik said, he's one of the best, most talented players he ever played with. And I mean, I'm including all the players he played with at Barcelona. He didn't know what foot Lubo kicked with, corners and free kicks with left and the right. But unfortunately, at one point we had him and Ayo Berkovic. Mm. Yeah.
They're not going to work hard.
Yeah. Let's have a competition to see who's the laziest. And I remember saying to Paul Lambert.
Well, but look.
Go on, Frank.
Look now between Neymar and Paris and Mbappé in Paris Saint-Germain. It's almost impossible to work with those players because they are two playmakers. They want to do the show. There is a competition if they pretend they are friends, and they may be friends. But on the field, you can feel there is a competition. Who's going to score a goal? Who's going to shoot a penalty? Who's going to whatever it is? We're going to make a last pass. It's complicated. You know, it worked between Neymar and Messi. It seems to work between Mbappe and Neymar, even if it puts trouble in the team because nobody defends, so it's complicated for the rest of the team. And they become a little bit selfish at some point.
Frank, can you just show me your quarterback impression again, please? That's quite impressive.
A quarterback impression?
Yeah, you did a quarterback about impression. What? We were talking about Any Given Sunday. You were talking about the quarterback and you gave us a bit of a spiral.
Well, I don't know what to say anymore. I love quarterback.
You did, it's
very strange.
You didn't even realize you did it.
No. It's very strange about, you know, if I talk about quarterback and American football, I love American football, but it's really strange the way players come on the field where, you know, they have the substitute or the less important players who come first. Then you have some players who come, they are a little bit important, and it goes and goes until the quarterback, who is the best man, and everybody has to say, oh, the king is coming up, you know, he's coming out. I don't like that. It's the teamwork, and I don't like that kind of degrees of importance in the same team.
Frank, are you after a new contract or something? I mean, you're talking about American football.
Right, final question.
Shut
come
up, man. End the show. You told me you sent the producer a still picture, which is a big no-no.
Yeah, you know what? I didn't talk about the haircut. You know, I could have talked about the haircut because I'm the one, you know. But about the Smurf, the Mbappe Smurf, it's what you say in England. Smurf, I don't know what he's doing, you know. And I should be the last to talk about haircuts, but I don't know what they do, guys.
Here's what I want to know. Right. Are we finished after this?
This is the final question.
No, but I don't mean extra time.
We're going to have to do other bits for other countries. So that'll be fun to do.
So we don't have to talk about American players where you like try to shoehorn that into your show.
Do the guys agree with Zidane that Benzema is the best French striker ever? It's quite a statement, Frank.
Ever? No, it's a, why? What Zizou wants to compare generations? I mean, Papin was absolutely exceptional. Lacombe before him was exceptional. Jules Fontaine was still the best scorer in the World Cup because he scored 13 goals in the World Cup, was absolutely exceptional. Benzema is absolutely fantastic. It's another generation. Why does he want to compare?
Well, he's boosting his boy, isn't he, Frank? He's just boosting his boy. That, you can understand him doing that. He probably doesn't really believe it.
Well, he can believe it because Benzema is absolutely fantastic. He's maybe actually right now the best striker in France. Because he's been playing for like more than 10 years for Real Madrid. And we saw so many players, you know, in competition with him, coming and leaving, and he was still there. So, and he scores and scores and scores. Ronaldo left, and he scored and scored and became the leader of the attack. Fantastic player. And you have the right to say he's fantastic, but don't compare with the others from the other generation.
That is it. We are done. Thank you very much to everybody. We'll be back tomorrow to talk about the best, of course. Lewandowski, Ronaldo and Messi all facing off in Zurich to be crowned the best ever. You want to say goodbye on that shot, Craig? Do you want to? Until tomorrow, then, be sure to join us then. Goodbye. We're off to deal with the snow, Craig. That'd be exciting.